Everybody put your hands together. Let's do this. Okay? Like this. Here's the church. Here's the steeple. The doors are open wide to welcome all the people. Learning, with the doors open, we hear them pray. Learning and teaching so they don't go astray. Here's the pastor climbing the stairs up to his office to pray because he cares. So that's what I come up with that. So a little bit different, a little bit more open. So we're going to talk about the church this week, both here and in our small groups. What does the word church mean? Sure, you've all heard of it, whatever, what our expectations of the word is. There's basically, most people come up with five different usages of the word church. It's a chapel or meeting house, a gathering held in that same chapel for worship. It's the flock who habitually gathers there, us. It's a denomination or organization that they belong to. And they think of it as the worldwide body of Christians. What is the biblical definition of church? Well, the word church in the Bible comes from the Greek word ecclesia, which basically means a called out, set aside, or an assembly. We also see in the word church used three different ways in the Bible. First, as the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:2 says, "To the church of God that is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ and called to be saints, with all those in every place who call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours." It's also defined as a body of individual believers. 1 Corinthians 12:27. "Now you who are Christ's body, and each of you who is a member of it." Finally, as we'll look later on in the week, we'll see that the church is designed as a universal group of all people who have trusted Christ through the ages. And we can find a reference to that in Ephesians 5:23-27. So that's basically what some definitions are. I'm going to look a little bit on the purpose of the church today. So I want us to think about what was happening. If you want, you can open up your Bibles to Acts 2. We'll be looking at that today. We'll be reading most of that chapter. So I want to sort of set the scene, what's happening there. We've had this, Acts basically starts out in Jerusalem about 40 days after the crucifixion and stuff of Christ. During that 40 days, there's been various sightings, and the disciples have seen the Lord. He's spoken to a lot of people. He's spoken to a few. And so when he finally left, he said, "Wait, I'm going to be sending the Holy Spirit to you." So they're waiting. A bunch of them gathered, about 120 people. They're waiting in a hall and spending time together praying and just being with each other. And then all of a sudden, things start happening. A huge wind comes about, starts shaking everything. They're so excited. What's going on? That the Holy Spirit's coming upon them. They're experiencing new things they've never seen before. So they start speaking and praising and jumping. You can just imagine what's happening. And so much is going on. They're so excited. It's actually spilling out onto the streets. And people are wondering, what the heck's going on over there? So lots of people are coming. There's still a lot of people who've been around because the Passover and the crucifixion. They're still not used. So about a huge crowd eventually gathers around this building and what's going on. And they're seeing and witnessing what's happening, you know. They're talking in tongues. They're saying, "Hey, I'm from this place, and these guys are speaking my language, and this guy's speaking my language." And some of them are really awed, like, "This is really cool." Some of them are going, "What's going on here?" And a few are going, "Huh, they're just drunk and stuff." And that's where I want to pick up where the passage. So if you want to follow along with me, just after the filling of the Holy Spirit, Peter stood up after the crowd is going, what's going on? What's going on? He stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed them. You men of Judea, and all you who live in Jerusalem, know this and listen carefully to what I say. In spite of what you think, these men are not drunk. For it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is what's happening is what was spoken about through the prophet. In the last days it will be, God says, that I will pour out my spirit on all people. And your sons and your daughters will prophesy. And your young men will see visions. And your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And they will prophesy. And I will perform wonders in the sky above with miraculous signs on earth below with blood and fire and clouds of smoke. The sun will be changed to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord comes. And everyone who calls upon the Lord, the name of the Lord, will be saved. Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man clearly attested to you by God with powerful deeds, wonders, and miraculous signs that God performed among you through him, just as if you yourselves know, you've seen this. This man who was handed over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you executed by nailing him to a cross at the hands of Gentiles. But God raised him up, having released him from the pains of death, because it was not possible for him to be held in his power. David said about him, I saw the Lord always in front of me, for he is my right hand, so that I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My body also will live in hope, because you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor permit your Holy One to experience decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. Brothers, I can speak confidently to you about our forefather David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us today. So then, because he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn to him with an oath to seat one of his descendants on the throne, David, foreseeing this, spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was neither abandoned to Hades, nor did his body experience decay. This Jesus God raised up, and we are all witnesses of it. So then, exalted the right hand of God, having received the promise of the Holy Spirit from the Father, he has poured out what you see and hear now. For David did not ascend into the heaven, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at the right hand, at my right hand, until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know beyond a doubt that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And they kind of responded. And they said, Now when they heard this, they were distressed and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, well, what should we do, brothers? And Peter said to them, repent, and each one of you will be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far away. And as many as the Lord has called will call to himself. Peter testified with many other words and exhorted them, saying, save yourself from this perverse generation. So those who accepted his message were baptized. And that day about 3,000 people added, they became the church. They were devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to breaking of bread and prayer. Awe came over everyone, and many wonders and miracle signs came about by the apostles. All who believed were together and held everything in common. They began selling their property and possessions and distributing the proceeds to everyone as everyone as anyone had need. Every day they continued to gather by common consent in the temple courts, breaking bread from house to house, sharing the food they had with glad and humble hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And the Lord was adding to their numbers every day those who were being saved. Thank you for your word, Lord. Amen. Okay. We want to focus on Acts 2:42 in that area. We see what happened then. And we can derive from that some of the purpose of the church. Acts 2:42 can be considered a purpose statement for the church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. According to this verse, the purpose and activities of the church should be teaching biblical doctrine, preaching Christ, providing a place of fellowship for believers, observing the Lord's Supper, and praying. So let's look at each one of these things. The church is to teach biblical doctrine so that we can be grounded in our faith. Ephesians 4:14 tells us, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. The church is to meet together for teaching so that we can learn and grow in our faith. So we can't be swayed by what's happening in our world, false teaching, false doctrines. If we're coming together in a church that looks as the Word, as we looked earlier, the Bible is our Word from God, inherent and powerful, God-breathed. So we come, it's a safe place where we can learn and grow. The church is a place for fellowship, where Christians can be devoted to one another, honor one another, Romans 12:10, to instruct one another, Romans 15:14, be kind and compassionate to one another, encourage one another, and most importantly, love one another. Basically, it's a place where you can be friends. It's a place where you can feel welcome. It's a place where people will know your name. I know when I first became a Christian, I became Christian in high school, grade 10, and once I got involved, that group of believers, that youth group, became my everything. I did everything with them. And through, we were together Friday nights for youth. We were together Sunday mornings, Sunday school, Sunday church. Half the time we did things in the afternoon on Sunday. Sunday evening we went out for coffee. During the week, a bunch of us always were in school together, so we hung out there. We had midweek Bible study. We did everything together. And during that time is where I learned what it meant to be a Christian. When I first became a Christian, I didn't know all the terms and stuff like that. I didn't know what the word devotion was. We're going through a bunch of, the books of the Bible, and certain words, I'm going, I don't know what that means. There was one that I think I had an idea what it was, but I wasn't sure. So I actually had to go to the camp counselor, to the counselor, and I said, can I ask you a question? Kind of quiet. He goes, yeah. What does this word circumcision mean? I didn't know. I think I had an idea. And believe me, as a young Christian young man, I was kind of shocked about what that term meant. But I invested. That's where we spent time together, in fellowship. We grew and we learned. I know that that works. After a few years went on, I got married and stuff like that. in the church I was at, four or five of us hung together quite a bit, doing the same things. You know, having fun, doing stuff like that. And there was one young guy, and I was, that sort of latched onto us and continued. He was dating this one girl in the church and whatnot. And years later, a couple years ago, one of my friends died suddenly. We were all at his funeral. And afterwards, you know, we were at someone's house. And he came up to me and he says, you know, I just want to thank you. And I go, okay, why? And he said, hanging out with you and the others taught me what it meant to be a Christian man. I wasn't even a Christian when I first started coming and dating. But hanging out with you guys, it was part of you. You know, you talk, you know, we'd study and whatnot, but just hanging out, I learned what it meant to be a Christian man. I thought that was really cool. Really shows the power of what fellowship can do. The church is also to be a place where believers can observe the Lord's Prayer or the Lord's Supper, remembering Christ's death and shed blood on our behalf. The concept of breaking bread in the context of Acts here could also have meant in promoting fellowship again. I know that when I was a young Christian, especially in college, we went out a lot. We did a lot of things together, as I said. But when I went to college, we'd go to church Sunday, and people would ask us out. There'd be hospitality was a lot bigger than it seems to be today. And one of the biggest things that impacted me was, do you remember, I don't know if you guys ever been involved in this, but do you ever doing Guess Who's Coming to Dinner in your church? Where you sign up and say, okay, I want to go someplace, okay, I'll host someplace. And people you really don't know come to your house and fellowship. Some of the best friendships, relationships, discussion happen during those times. And I'd like to see us do that here in the next year. I think it could be a lot of fun. We could really grow. A huge purpose of the church in modeling in Acts is the church is to be a place that promotes prayer, teaches prayer, practices prayer. Philippians 4, 6 to 7 encourages us, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present yourselves to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ. One of the hallmarks of the church is that we are to be people of prayer. Can anything really happen in the church, in our lives, without the power of prayer? And yet, why does it seem to be the toughest thing to do in the church, the toughest activity? We know that it has the most profound impact. I've experienced a few concerts of prayer, and man, there's nothing sweeter. But why don't we do it? The answer is simple. Things happen when we pray. The enemy does not want things to happen. We got a prayer summit coming up in a couple weeks. If you want power in your life, if you want to see this church grow, if you want to see us expand, then we need to be there. You need to be there. What's happening in your life? We need to be there to pray for those things. To pray for each other. To pray for the pastor. Prayer. We are to be a people of prayer. It's one of the first things they did together in the early church. Another purpose given to the church, obviously, is the Great Commission. Proclaiming the gospel of salvation through Jesus Christ. The church is called to be faithful in sharing the gospel through word and deed. Basically, that's what all of Acts is about. The church is to be a lighthouse in the community, at work, pointing people to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The church is to both promote the gospel and prepare its members to proclaim the gospel. The reason I started where I did in Scripture today is because we need to preach Christ and preach Him boldly, just like Peter did. And what happened when he did? People came to the Lord. They became believers. We're also to go out and make disciples. Jesus came up and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." People, it's not a choice thing. If you are called, you must become a disciple. You'll want to become a disciple, and you want others. Christ didn't call us to make converts, to make Christians. He called us to go into the world and make disciples. A couple other things that the church, purpose of the church, maybe not quite in here, but just generally, God our Father accepts us pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. The church is to be about the business of ministering to those in need. This includes not only the gospel, but also providing for the physical needs, food, clothing, and shelter as necessary. When I first became an elder, I was amazed. I've been an elder and on various other boards, but I was amazed at the amount that this church gives to our benevolent fund, to needs in the church and without. I'm really glad that we're partnered with the hub. We have meeting people's needs by, we're giving coats out every week. People are volunteering, giving coats out. And I'm really glad for people who come here, bring their little machines in, and make dresses. The ladies who sew those dresses put out and bundled over 200 dresses this past week. Joanne Van Beek came, we prayed for her, and we're sending out. She is, you know, together. I think Dresser Girl is so great because we meet the needs of so many people over there. They get a chance to experience God's love in that way. So, good job. Doing great. So what is the purpose of the church? Paul gave an excellent illustration to the believers in Corinth. The church is God's hands. It's His mouth. His feet in the world. It's the body of Christ. We are doing the things that Jesus would do if He were here physically on earth. The church is to be Christian, Christ-like, Christ-following. So those are some of the purposes. Where are we today? Where's the church? How's the church looked at today? Several studies over the past 8 years or so are coming to a few common insights onto whether churches or congregations are growing or not. Two of the biggest factors in a healthy growing congregation or church is, do they speak the word? Do they have small groups? Are they preaching Jesus? Are they getting to know Jesus? Are they in small groups learning and having fellowship, being where they belong, having a place to feel like they belong? As people are encouraged, Sunday services become rally points to hear the word, to teach Christ, to celebrate. I love to celebrate. I love celebration. It's great. I wish we had more of a sense of celebration sometimes. We come to worship, to have communion, to do baptism, the place where newcomers are introduced to the people, the mission, and even the culture of the church in that particular congregation. That's what Sunday mornings are for. As people are encouraged to grow deeper as they come out in their practice of their faith, they're encouraged to find and join a small church, a small group. Smaller groups of the membership is where true discipleship really begins to happen, much like the early church. They study the message of the Sunday service, establish a community where people belong, feel safe, learn and grow in God's word. Here at Leduc Alliance, we're becoming a church of small groups. When Shannon and I tell people about how many groups we have versus the numbers, and they're just amazed. We have an awesome thing going on here. And I'm so glad that you've all caught that vision and involved. You're developing a place where you belong. Each Sunday we gather to get the basic main teaching of the week, either myself, Cody, or a visitor, whatever, to fellowship with others and to partake in some of the larger specific ministries of the church, like ladies' group, men's group, youth, dress a girl, whatever. It is a small group. It's at small group levels that the discipleship really begins and can happen. We encourage small groups to be the body of Christ, to be friends, looking out for one another, caring for each other, having a deeper relationship with each other in God. Have fun. Just don't study the word. Eat together. Well, I guess I don't have to say that. We do enough of that, don't we? Doing things together, getting together, cleaning a lawn, shoveling snow. Dick's good at that. He can give us lessons. Or he used to. He doesn't do that so much anymore, I guess. It's a place, and I keep harping on this, and I've always said that people don't stay in church unless they have relationship. This is where we are building relationship, not just with each other, but through each other to God. That's what it's all about. And as our groups grow, we should begin to encourage others, include others, because of our passion. Others will want to see that passion and be part of it. We encourage the groups to be missional, finding opportunities to minister to their neighbors, to their co-workers, to the needy, so forth. Letting the light shine, as it were, getting to know each other, getting to know them, drawing them into a closer relationship with the Creator. At least that's the vision that your elders, Pastor Shannon and I, have for this body of believers. Our passion is to be obedient in helping others grow in disciples. To conclude, yes, the end is near. I want to reiterate some passionate points. The purpose of the church is to deepen our relationship with God and each other. It's always been God who had a plan for us to have a close relationship with Him. He revealed it first as a covenant to Abraham, to making His descendants the model and means of redemption for all. He then, in the fullness of time, sent His Son to redeem us and to empower us by His gift of the Holy Spirit, our Comforter. He knows our name. Today, this vehicle, His vehicle to accomplish all this, is this restorative process is the church. As the video earlier today said, it is us, the church, the redeemed, that the world can see and know and to get to know and become His. Christ challenges us to be His disciples, to go out and help others, the poor, widows, each other, to know and grow closer to God, to make more disciples. Also, that as many as possible can know and experience Him fully. Our passion is to do this locally by being a church of small groups that becomes disciples, that makes disciples. That's really my passion and calling. Is it yours? Acts 2:43 says, so those who accepted Peter's message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 people were added. This week I got a text from a young guy asking me what I thought about his consideration on being baptized. I texted back to him with a question. Do you believe in God? That Christ came to pray for your sins and restore a relationship with God, and that the Holy Spirit indwells in you, guiding you to live, worship, and grow towards God as He directed His word? Then yes, you should publicly announce to the world, to a body of believers, that you believe such and wish to be His disciple. That makes disciples by being baptized. You can also today only. Consider making that proclamation also by becoming a member of this congregation. The offer is you get free pizza today only. If you're considering being baptized or would like to become a member, talk to Shannon. Have a great week. Thank you.